Spirit. You ever had one of those days or one of those weeks, months, or years that really did not go as planned? I have, and I'm sure you have, or you are even in the middle of it right now. The kind of day that just starts off bad. You wake up in the morning feeling great and refreshed, and you look at the time and realize it's because you slept in and you're late for work. You have one of those bad days at work all day. Difficult people to work with. You come home. The wife burns your dinner. The kids are getting on your nerves. You kick the dog just because the dog is there to kick. I remember there was a time right after I got married. I was a young man taking on a big new responsibility, and I realized the weight of the responsibility of taking a wife. But the very week after I got married, I had no job again. And I felt like my life was just coming down around me. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What have I done? The responsibility was there. Five questions for a crushed spirit. Maybe some of you in here today are just going through one of those kinds of times. You're in the middle of it. I'm going to read first from Psalm 142. We'll start at the beginning. Psalm 142. A Maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. Sometimes it's a good thing to do, to cry aloud to the Lord in these kinds of times. I pour out my complaint before Him. Before Him I tell my trouble. Also a good thing to do. Why not? He already knows your trouble. He already knows your complaints. Talk to Him. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is You who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to You, O Lord. I say, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. And next we see in verse 7, we see David kind of turning things around a little bit. As he says, set me free from my prison that I may, what? Your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of Your goodness to me. We see David in the midst of one of those kinds of times. He's in the middle of this difficult time, a crushed spirit. Psalm 13, verse 1 says, how long, O Lord, will You forget me forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? And then we read in Psalm 34, verse 19, a righteous man may have many troubles. But the Lord delivers him from them all. What kind of man has many troubles? May have many troubles? A righteous man. Not just the baddies, but a righteous man, a man who's following the Lord, may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Let's pray, ask God's leadership and anointing with this message this morning. Father, I thank You for Your word to us. And Lord, I know that in this room there are some who are in the midst of a crushed spirit. And You are the God of crushed spirits. You are the God who restores. You are the God who lifts up, who delivers. And today, Lord, I pray that You would use the words from Your word to minister to us. set this church, Lord, on a course, on a direction from You. Change us, Lord, where we must be changed. Change our thinking where it must also change. Let us be bold enough to acknowledge our own wrong thinking, our wrong motives, our wrong understanding. Let us be bold enough, Lord, to address them, confront them, and leave them behind if necessary. Change our hearts. And I pray, Father, for any person in this building today who may not yet know You as their Savior, as their Lord, Father, touch them. Move their spirit, move their heart. Give them courage, Lord, to settle this issue. And may they trust You as Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'm going to do today is from the book of Psalms. We're going to take a look at Psalm chapter 34 and ask ourselves five questions from this psalm. Five questions that we all need to ask ourselves. The first question is this. It's found in verse number 1 of Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. The first question we need to ask is, what have you been saying lately? What is it that you have been saying lately? David says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And we take a look at these other passages like Psalm 142, and we say, is he telling the truth here? Is he telling a fib that he will always praise the Lord at all times, because it doesn't always look that way? I believe here, though, he is indeed making a commitment. He is making a commitment. Yes, the truth is this, that we do fail at times. And some of us get down and discouraged and in the depths. And we also look up and say, why, Lord? Why me? But he's making a commitment at this time right now. And what he's saying is, I am committing myself. What I am saying, what I am speaking, it's going to be praise to the Lord at all times. James 3:8 reminds us about the mouth and about the tongue and the words that come out. It says, it is a restless evil. The tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. What he's saying is the tongue has the power for death. The tongue has power for death. Therefore, it also has power for what else? Life. Words are a powerful thing. In words, there's the power of life. It's the power of death. You're around someone who constantly speaks death. It's not a pleasant thing. You're around someone who speaks words of life. It's an encouraging, uplifting kind of thing. God spoke the world into existence. What did He use to create? What did He use? He used words. His words. The words of God. So in our words, it's very important. It's very crucial. They have the power of life, and they have the power of death. Now, some people will just perhaps say that this is just psychology, psychotherapy, whatever. Just think positive, happy, clappy kind of thing. You know, you get a flat tire on the way to church and you get out and say, praise God, praise God. I got a flat tire. That's not exactly what we are talking about. But the words that we have do have power. And I want to encourage us this morning to focus on words of life. Words of life. Some people live their lives in a continual negative mindset of saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't, and you fill in the blanks. 9 years ago, Jennifer and I moved to Texas. Not something we want to repeat again. Amen, Jen? And I was looking for work in IT, in computer field. And I had many people who just basically said, you cannot get into IT without experience, and you can't get experience without qualification. I had neither experience or qualification in this field. But I got a job soon after. Praise the Lord for that. I lost it shortly after that, but I got the job. for various reasons. I want us to decide now, though, that we're going to have a different spirit. We're going to have a different spirit. And that is a spirit of life. This church is about transforming lives. The first L stands for what? Life. We're to be a church of life. Abundant life. The kind of abundant life that Christ spoke of. Speak words of life. Don't speak words of death. Some people make it a habit to always listen. And whether it's listening to the music or whether it's listening to teaching or to the message, but the whole time they're listening, you know what they're thinking? I wouldn't have said that. Or I would have said this. Or I would have done this differently. And they're constantly critiquing and criticizing everything. Listen, this is not an attitude of humility to come that way. That is not humility. That's not an attitude of humility or an attitude of unity. Have a different spirit and choose to extol the Lord, to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord at all times. All times. What have you been saying lately? Words are powerful and they have an impact on life. What has been coming from your lips? That's the question I want to ask you. If you're in the bottom, if you're in your spirit is crushed, what words have been coming out of your mouth lately? Ask yourself this question. Question number two I want to ask is, how have you been feeling lately? What have you been saying lately, and now how have you been feeling lately? Psalm 34, verse 2. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Let who hear? Tell me. Who? The afflicted. That's those who are in pain. That's those who are crushed in spirit. Let them hear what? Let them hear what? My boasting. My boasting. Boasting in what? In the Lord. So let the afflicted hear my boasting in the Lord, and then let them rejoice. I'm going to ask you a question. Do your feelings rule you? Do your feelings rule you? What happens to you when you feel real bad? Do you let your feelings rule over you? If you let your feelings rule, if I let my feelings rule over you, I'd probably be in bed right now. We can't let our feelings rule over us. We need to teach our feelings. The just walk by faith and not by sight. And the sight has to do with what we see, what we feel. But we walk by faith. We walk by what God has said, what He has declared. And the truth is, it is difficult to boast in God while still whining about your feelings. My soul will boast in the Lord. It doesn't say, let the afflicted whine. It says, let the afflicted hear and rejoice in that. Listen, as I preach, as I preach to the church, you know what happens inside of me? My spirit gets lifted. My spirit gets lifted. Something happens. God does such a work in my heart and my life. And my spirit gets lifted up from the depths. Why do you think we come and we have 20 to 30 minutes of worshiping the Lord together? Is it just filler? Making sure we're getting ready and everybody's giving them time to get here before we do the real thing? No way! Something happens as we worship the Lord. And sometimes you come in the morning and Lolita gets up and she has a smile on her face and she says, "Hello, church, let's all stand and sing!" And you just had one of those weeks. And your spirit's crushed, and you say, "I don't feel like it." Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Because God will do something in your life too. And He will lift you up through this. He will lift you up. Sometimes you just need to be able to teach your soul to boast in the Lord. Teach your soul to boast in the Lord. because it's not always natural. You have to practice it. You have to practice it. That means you sing, even if you don't feel like it, because you're teaching your soul, I'm going to boast in the Lord. The afflicted are going to hear. Maybe I'm the afflicted. But they're going to hear it, and they're going to also rejoice. I'm going to boast in the Lord. Psalm 139:14. We have to remind ourselves and teach ourselves certain things. Psalm 139:14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am God's creation. I am God's creation. We have to remind ourselves of these things. You have to remind yourself that in Christ, I am a new creation. In Christ, I am God's child. In Christ, He is my friend. You have to remind yourself, listen to this, that God is good. God is good. I was talking to someone recently about this, and he said, you know, sometimes somebody will just take a look at that or hear that and just say, that's just not true. I haven't seen that. But the truth is this, it doesn't matter what you're experiencing in your life. There are many times we experience things in our lives that are contrary to God's, who God is and what God wants for us. But the truth is, God is good. He is the definition of goodness. He is the definition. It's what He is. It's not that He has goodness. It's not that He has this attribute of goodness. He is good. It's who He is. We have to remind ourselves of these things. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Jennifer and I together make up this complete. Because I'm fearfully made, she's wonderfully made. Are you afflicted today? Are you one of those who needs to be reminded that God loves you? God is on your side. God cares about you. He's cheering for you. I want to encourage you then, if you're afflicted, boast in Him. Boast in Him of who He is and what He has done in your life. Boast in Him today. Boast of all that He's done for you. What He's made you to be. How are you feeling lately? What have you been saying? How are you feeling? Third, how have you been looking lately? How have you been looking lately? Psalm 34:5. Those who look to Him are... Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I saw some of you come in today, and some of you are not looking radiant. Why aren't you looking radiant? Some of you who want your friends to come to Christ, some of you who want your family and your friends to come to know Christ, you need to ask yourself, if I saw me and how I looked all the time, would I want to come to Christ? I'm not talking about some things you can't help. You can't help the size of your nose, okay? Well, you can, but I don't recommend you guys going out and getting nose jobs. I'm not talking about just how you your appearance, but I'm talking about a radiance that comes from knowing God and having a relationship with Him. A Christian face ought to have radiance. It ought to have something special and different that people look to and say, what's going on in your life? I remember one time I met a man, this was back when I was in Bible school. I met a man who had been saved not too long. And he was nothing special to look at. His face was a bit wrinkly. He wasn't that old, but he had lived a pretty tough life. His face was a bit wrinkly. His hair was a bit long, not very kept nicely. And he had some tattoos from his previous days. He was just nothing special to look at. But I want to tell you something. There was something that I saw in this guy, and it could only be described as a radiance in his face, in his life, because at one time he was lost, and now he was found, and he met Jesus Christ, and Jesus came into his life and changed him, and he's a new creation now, and he just wanted to share that with everybody that came along his path. That was radiance. He had a radiance that could not be explained. How are you looking lately? He knew Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Again, I'm going to say I'm not talking about religion. Do you go to church? Were you raised a Christian? Have you been baptized? I'm asking you if you know Jesus as your Savior. Have you at any point in your life accepted Him into your life to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, to make you a new creation? Have you been there? And when you do, the Bible calls that experience being born again. And that should show. It should show. Those who look to Him are radiant. You can look inside your own self and you can get really discouraged. You can look at things and people around you and it can really depress you. Or you can look up to God and be radiant. Be radiant. Sometimes when the kids were younger, sometimes they would just simply wake up, and they still do. Sometimes they would simply wake up and be in a stinky mood. Anybody, any other parents, or is it just my kids? Sometimes they just wake up in a lousy, stinky, rotten mood, and radiance does not describe them. But have you ever, do you remember this happening to you, or have you ever done this to other people where you look at them and they're in a lousy mood and they're cranky and grouchy, but you look at them and you just say, smile. They're like, I don't want to smile. I'm not going to smile. Smile. I don't want to smile. And you get right in their face. You look them in the eye and you say, I want you to smile. Jennifer's good at this. And what happens? They start breaking a smile, don't they? And they don't want to, so they kind of smirk on the side. But before you know it, what happens? Your spirit begins to change a little bit because they had someone who confronted them with this attitude that they had and said, smile. Smile. And their faces become radiant. And I think to some of you today, God wants to say to you, smile. Smile. God wants to say to you, smile. Some of you are saying right now, I don't want to be a fake. I'm going to be real. And if I'm feeling bad, so bad I'm feeling. What you're really saying, if you're saying that, is I'm just going to be ruled by whatever feelings are going inside of my life right now. I'm going to be ruled. If people cannot feel my pain, at least they're going to be able to see it. I'm going to let everybody know that I have major pain right now. And your face goes out to the world like a missionary, telling the whole world about your pain. The countenance is an important thing. We see in Genesis 31 that Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, his father-in-law, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Something had changed inside. He took a look at his father-in-law and his countenance was different. How he looked was different. It was not radiant. He knew there was trouble. In Isaiah 3:9, talking about the children of Israel, it says, the look on their countenance witnesses against them. They're not radiant anymore. They don't have God's love and peace and joy inside of them. And it shows. So how are you looking lately? How are you looking? Psalm 42. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. God can and wants to change your countenance. Now again, I want to ask you, if people that you want to bring to know Christ, take a look at your face, would they want to know Christ? Are you radiant? Are you radiant? How have you been looking lately? Number four, how's your appetite lately? How's your appetite? Some of you say pretty good. I look at some of you and I say pretty good. But how's your appetite for God, for the Lord? Verse 8 of Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know how important sight is when it comes to food? For me, it's very important. Recently, Michael and Lolita have been taking... We've gone a couple times to this Japanese restaurant. And I like it. I like it. I like it. I like Japanese food. But they bring out these entrees. And there's three dishes on it. Two of them are pretty good. There's this third dish. And it's this miniature whole... I think it's raw. I don't know. Octopus. Head... Tentacles, everything. And it looks like they just scooped it out of the ocean and plunked it in your bowl there. We ate there last week. Jennifer was bold enough to go for it. I offered her my one and she didn't take it though. And, you know, I try to explain. You know, a lot of it's in the sight. I might eat it if it was all cut up in little pieces and you couldn't tell what it was. But sight is so important to us. You ever see those, like squid even. I eat squid all the time, but not if it was a whole squid plopped on my plate. You ever see those games where people are blindfolded and they put food in their mouth and they have to try to guess what it is? You know, that's crazy. I wouldn't trust most of you to blindfold me and shove stuff in my mouth. Sight is so important. And that's a natural tendency for us. But this verse says, taste and then see. Taste first. See that the Lord is good. And many people are just saying, if I could just see, then I might get a taste for the Lord. If I could see, then I might get a taste for serving Him, for being committed to Him, to getting to know Him better, to sharing Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How's your appetite lately? Spend time with the Lord. The more time you spend with the Lord, also, the more radiant you're going to look. Moses spent some time with the Lord up on the mountain. He came down. How did he look? A little too radiant, man. They had to cover his head with a bag. And when people start covering your head with bags, well, you're in big trouble probably, but it's either because you're not too good to look at or you're radiant. Number five is this. How's your spirit? How is your spirit? Verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's close to the brokenhearted. Saves those crushed in spirit. Psalm 25 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Those whose spirit is low and crushed, it compares to a city like they experienced in these times, a city that was broken down and it has no walls around it. What happened to those kinds of cities? What happened in those days with a city that had no walls? It was open to invaders, open to people to come in and take over and conquer. He said, those who are crushed in the spirit are like this kind of a city with no walls. Your guard is down. You're open to an invader to come in and rule. You're vulnerable. You're vulnerable to anything around you. The Bible talks about Satan being like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Have you seen nature shows where they track a lion or tigers and they go on a hunt? And there's a whole pack. Who do they go after often? Who do they go after? Either the sickly ones or the wounded ones. Sick or wounded. The ones who are broken down a little bit because they're an easier catch. Don't go after the strongest. You don't need to go after the strongest. He goes after the weakest. The Bible is just saying that when your spirit is crushed, when you're down, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable and you're open to Satan's attack. And we read in Psalm 142, the last verse said, "Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me." And I want to tell you that when you are in this kind of a state, when your spirit is crushed and when you are low, that's when you must. That's when you must come. The very times that you say, "I just don't feel like being in a life group tonight. You know, life group, and I don't feel much life right now." That's the very time that you need to be there and surround yourself with the righteous, because you're weak, you're hurting, you're wounded. The very times that you come to church and "I don't really feel like singing today, I'm just not in the mood." That's the very times that you need to be able to train your soul to boast in the Lord anyway. That's the very time you need it, because your spirits are crushed, the walls down, you're open, you're vulnerable. You need to surround yourself with the righteous to help and protect you and look over you. Sing when you don't want to sing. Go to church when you don't want to go to church. And I want to challenge you today, please, speak words of life. Speak words of life. Don't let words become like a poison. Words can become death. Words can become poison to the soul. So first question, what is it that you've been saying lately? What's coming out of your mouth? His praise will always be on my lips. Second, how have you been feeling lately? Boast in the Lord. The afflicted will hear this and rejoice as well. Third, how have you been looking lately? Radiant? How is your appetite lately? And how's your spirit? How's your spirit? Will you stand together with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, please